It's in the 11th chapter of John. As we know, some of us have heard this, some of us may not have. Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. He began to fall sick, and unexpectedly it died. And at the time, everyone was communicating to Christ that one day it went by, or another day it went by. And it had got to the point where he had got to all of them and said, I'm going to read in verse 25. And it begins and opens up and says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? But Jesus made the journey to where he was, and he had already been dead for a few days. And I'd read this from time to time, but I never got out of it what God had put on my heart today. And it reads in verse 34, and it says, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Verse 36 said, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Oh, church, I praise him tonight. Now when I read this, that he was not only weeping for a disciple, somebody that had been around him and somebody that he was fond with. But consider this thought with me tonight of how that this begins to open up a very prophetic event in the Word of God. And he was weeping for you. And he was weeping for all of us in this time. I don't believe that God had any respect of person. So why would he bring emphasis to what we know is the shortest verse of the Bible? No, it's because he loved us. And he loved Lazarus. And he begins to face one of the biggest things that had happened in that time. And he came up to that cave where he had been buried. And oh, church, just go beyond the cave with me tonight and realize that Christ was coming to a confrontation with death. He's coming to a confrontation with death, and he came into the stone, and he spoke to roll back that stone. And at that point, there was nothing left that there was but Christ and death. Hallelujah. And by our standards and what we had already said and what he had heard was that he was dead, that there's nothing that you can do, and that you're already late, and there's nothing that you can do to save this man, for he's already gone. They already laid on the grave clothes. They already put the napkin over him and said, this man is finished. They had already wept. They had already said their goodbyes and was in a state of mourning. But hallelujah, when he came into the stone, Christ was faced with death. And hallelujah, how many of us know that when God begins to reveal it to us, it'll come first by sight, and then it'll come to pass. But he came into that stone. He said, roll it away. And when he was speaking to Lazarus, consider this with me tonight. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. But when I was praying, seeking God, it opened up to me that he was saying, death, come out. Death, come out. Oh, death, flee from him. Now I'm glad to know that for all those that are sin sick, and all those that are weary, and all those that need that great move of God, that even when we're in the face of death, that we can have that power of God to not only attempt to speak life, but to command death to begin to flee. I praise him tonight to know that he was weeping then because he knew of what was to come. He had told them he was the resurrection. And by this, he demonstrated by the word of God that he began to speak. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe thou hast sent me. And after he spoke this and gave God the praise, in a loud voice he came out of nowhere and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he, I want you to read this text with me tonight. And he that was dead, say dead, he that was dead came forth. Hallelujah. Death had an opportunity to try to present itself, but came out bound in the grave clothes, and that which man had put on it. Consider the grave clothes tonight, church, as being represented to sin and how it would try to bring death upon us. Or it's the final mark of somebody saying that there's no hope for them. You might as well put them in a cave and roll the stone. But I'm glad to know, and I praise Him tonight, hallelujah, that He spoke to death, and that was not the end, that the death had to come out by the word of God that was spoken. And I know tonight I've been spoken to many times by God, but the one time I remember more than all is when He told my death to turn loose and say that you were free and that you were not bound. That wasn't it. He not only called death out, but then He put a proclamation, a word, a prophetic word over death. The first thing He said was, loose him. It hadn't come to pass yet, but He was opening up their understanding to say that death must flee, death must turn loose, sin must release when God calls you out. If God calls you and you feel like sin's heavy, God's working so that you cast off death. People in present death, people in present danger, they're beginning to wrap the grave clothes around them. And I'm just now starting to realize that I'm not dead anymore. As He lives in me, I'm not dead. I'm not going to pretend like I'm dead. I'm not going to play dead. And I'm not going to fake the appearance of death. But I'm going to live like I'm alive. Church, if He saved you, you got something in you tonight that'll cause you to come alive even when death will try to rear up its head in your life. Hallelujah. You know this, that when this life is over, that death is certain. But Christ made a way so that death would have no hold on the children of God that would call out and believe. Know this tonight. People are thinking that people's hearing the gospel everywhere in the world, but it's going to come through you showing that the grave clothes have been taken off through you, that people will see that you're alive. First thing He said was, loose him. But then He spoke a final proclamation over death. He said, loose him and let him go. That is to say, God saves your life, death must turn loose. Then, if it wasn't enough, hallelujah, He said, let him go. Release. Death must release. Or in other words, there is no sin tonight, church, that would hold you back from coming up. There's no sin that would cause you not to come alive. It's the word. So some of us maybe need to speak this over our lives. Loose it. Let go. Oh, so many, hallelujah, they know God. They've even had the first prayer to salvation, but they're in the grave clothes. Anybody hear what I'm saying? They're in the grave clothes. Sin is still prevalent and abundant about them. They've heard the call of God. But hallelujah, the people in the world even begin to doubt Christ in that moment. Before He said, loose him and let him go, He saw that he was bound. Consider this with me tonight, that when He wept, He was weeping for what was to come. And by the demonstration of the power of God, He opened up to try to help them understand that where the life was going to be. Tonight my life is in God. Oh, my life is in Him. I've never felt more alive than I do today. Oh, I've never felt more joy than I do now. I look behind me and see the grave clothes laying, and I know what it was that brought them off of me. And if people are going to be saved today, they have got to see us living like we're alive. Hallelujah. And if it wasn't enough that Lazarus came back from the dead and was alive, where was it that he was? He was at the table with Jesus, and they ate a meal. And it says that he was leaning upon him. And I could just see Lazarus knowing what he had been through, leaning upon Christ. And oh, how we get so weary in life. And how we find it so hard to find joy. God has laid you on my heart, if that's you. But if God has done a great work in your life, and you don't understand, and you don't know where you're going yet, and you don't necessarily see the will of God coming fully and abundantly in, I encourage you that while the table is spread, to lean on Him. To lean on Him. Somebody say, lean on Him. Lean on Him. Be fed by the manna of the Holy Ghost. Oh, be fed by the almighty power of God. Oh, if you need a word tonight, tonight's word is, when you get in trouble, lean on the everlasting arm of our Lord and Savior. And there's no better place that you could be than in His arms. And I want you to know that it's not always going to be easy to lean. Even after that, they had decided they were going to move on from that location where they were. And Lazarus made an attempt to go with Christ out in the city. Those that were religious at that time, or those that had a form and fashion, begin to speak and say, well, we're going to put Lazarus to death. Now, I want you to understand this tonight. The world had the boldness to try to say, let's kill him. That'll stop it. I don't know if that just strikes a nerve with you like it does with me. But how could you put something on somebody that they already came out of? Giving somebody death who was already brought back to life should tell me that you could kill me 20 times. But if God is in me and He calls me out, that the resurrection power is always there. So if the world is trying to say that we're going to kill you, that we're going to destroy you, that we're going to put sin in your life through temptations, don't give an ear to it. Know that you're alive. Know that He brought you out. And if He brought you out once, He'll do it again. But here's the kicker, here's the key, and here's the part that matters the most of everything. Before He spoke all that, He said, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I'm just going to be real frank with you. You may be visiting places, looking for an almighty outpouring of God's anointing and not finding it. Or you may be trying to counsel or speak to people that you've seen them in church highly anointed and you're looking for a word from them, but they just don't have it. Oh. Oh, we've tried our best to try to do all that we can to sing and to just to be radical and do all that we can. But in your heart, you have got to believe. You have got to come in before you ever see another person, shake their hand, already knowing. If it takes somebody to prove to you that you're alive in God, then you're not believing like you should be. To me, somebody that fully believes is one that would have the boldness to speak to death and to say, turn loose. God is trying to raise up some bolder Christians today. And not in just radical gifts and things that they're called to do. But hear this. Just to believe. Just to believe. You can go farther on belief than you will with talent. You'll go farther in faith than you will in works. Faith without works, it won't prosper anything. It's time to start living like we're alive. Can I preach on that and then we'll close? It's time that we live like we're alive. Nobody often would even know that we're blessed because we're so discouraged about yesterday that we don't even realize how God's trying to bless today. Preachers won't even be able to come in and preach the fresh word because they're troubled about a word a month ago. People aren't able to sing with true conviction and true heart because they're discouraged and a lack of belief is showing upon them. Half-hearted songs and half-hearted efforts. And I'm speaking to those of us that's really trying to be active in God right here. But we have got to start living like we're alive. If he loosed sin from you, then you should be able to be free to obey God in any capacity. And it doesn't require anybody telling you that you've got the gift. If God sets you free, you already have a word to know that you are. Hallelujah. And if you already have praised the Lord before, then it's time to get that praise out and use it again. If God's given you the ability to see people in need, then God's looking for people to step out and do that. I praise him tonight to know that I'm alive. When I go to bed at night, I'm alive. Oh, when I go to work and nobody wants to talk, I'm alive. Shoo. Oh, and nobody answers the phone when I call them, I'm still alive. Oh, church. Oh, I'm alive. When I'll send a text and I don't get one back, I'm alive. Oh, if I send an email out and I don't get one back, I'm alive. Hallelujah. If the service don't go the way that some of us would want, it feels kind of dry, I'm still alive. I've still got the Word of God that's dwelling in my heart. And I know that there is no sin, no bondage that could ever cause me to not be free in Him. Don't hardly hear that preached no more. Let's remember this when we go out of here tonight. It's important to know that we're alive. Say, I'm alive. You are alive. You're breathing right here in this place. And if God has left you here on this earth, it is not without purpose. We've got to start leaning on him when we get in trouble and living. Say, live. We have got to live. We've got to breathe. We've got to be fed. We have got to be saturated in his anointing. And we have got to be fed by the word of God. You can turn away the plate. That doesn't make it my fault. You have got to want to eat for yourself to preserve the life that's in you. Amen. I'm glad to know that even if nobody was serving it out and I couldn't make it to church and I didn't feel like it and nobody showed up, nobody came by, preacher didn't come by, pastor didn't come by, that God is still there. I'm glad that if I was in the hospital bed and I was weary or I was on the brink of death, that God is still there. There are people that need us to be more than dead. They need our prayers to be ringing out. Oh, church, get a hold of this. If you've ignored all of it till now, get this. We need to be praying for our loved ones. If there's ever a time to stand in the gap, it's today. Oh, we need to let our voice ring out and let somebody know that we're praying for them. They may be in the next room beside you. Let them hear your voice. Let them hear and feel the anointing of God that lives in you. That shows them you're alive and that you're free. Oh, somebody get their hand out with me and do this. You're not bound. I know you're sitting down, so this will be easier for you. Get one of your feet and shake it. You're not bound. Nobody's holding you down from celebrating that you've been delivered. Nobody's holding you back here in this place. You may be listening to the threats of the enemy trying to put you to death. But turn an ear away from that. And don't be deceived. Because remember, the greatest blessings are when you stand out. Jesus was in a place where they said, you cannot bring life where they are dead. You cannot do anything. You're already too late. But it's never too late for God. How many of us know that?